Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. To be able to worship in truth and in spirit. To be able to love on a God that created us. To be able to love on Him who adores us. And to just hang out together in worship. If you guys are of children's age, you can be dismissed. Now y'all got lots of cool things and fun things that you'll be doing back there. We are grateful for the children. Well, throughout church history, revivals have taken place in this nation and all over the world. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be having our own revival services here at First Baptist Grant. Well, this morning I want us to look at a couple of things. I want us to look at what is revival and how can you and I as individuals begin to prepare for what God wants to do in our hearts and through this church. Sometimes we equate revival with revival services. We need to realize this morning that revival services can take place without true revival ever occurring. So what is revival? Revival, in just a, not a Webster's Dictionary type of term, but to me, revival is where we have a spiritual awakening. If you were to think about somebody that gets involved in a boating accident, and they fall out of a boat and they begin to drown, and they intake a lot of water, and maybe they become unconscious as the body's own way of kind of shutting down and protecting the body. Well, when they drag somebody out of the water, and they get them up in the boat or on the shore, they begin to do CPR. And what happens is if they come back to consciousness, it's called they have been revived. They've been brought back to their original state of being. You see, revival is something that happens within believers. People do often get saved during revivals, and that's an incredible thing. It's an incredible thing during a week-long revival or a three-day revival or a weekend revival that people come to Christ. But I want to share with you this morning that revival can't take place in a non-believer because a non-believer is spiritually dead. And somebody that is lost and doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior must be reborn before they can ever be revived. Many churches all across the nation have become spiritually asleep. We've become complacent in our walk with the Lord. We have become satisfied with status quo. And we also have replaced spiritual intimacy with religious activity. Our world is plagued with evil things and wicked things such as terrorism, hatred, immorality, racism. Even in our Christian families, we see all types of things that are destroying our Christian homes, such as divorce and infidelity, addictions and abuse. Most Christians would agree that our world, our churches need revival. We need to experience that newness and that freshness once again if we're to ever be able to reach out to a world that is dying, a world that is hurting, a world that is crying out for truth and crying out for answers. They're looking for the solution. And you and I that are believers have that solution, and it's found only in and through the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. But how can this world be reached when it's filled with so many problems? How can God bless nations that have turned our backs on Him? We as the United States of America were founded on those biblical principles. But yet so many times in our Christians or in our public schools, in our judicial system, in a lot of different areas in our government, we as a nation have turned our backs on the living God that founded this nation and that allowed it to be established. Well, this morning I believe the answer to experiencing true revival lies with the person that you and I look in the mirror every single day. Folks, I firmly believe that revival starts with me. And revival starts with you. I believe that is an individual thing that needs to take place in yours and my life on a one-on-one basis with God before it'll ever take place in this church, before it'll ever take place in this community, and before it'll ever take place in this world. I believe that needs to take place. Revival, it starts with me. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. We're going to be spending some time there this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Beginning in verse 18. Just to kind of give you some background of what is taking place here, Solomon has just completed building the temple of the Lord. The temple was the place that represented where God was, where the Holy Spirit Himself dwelled, where God's presence dwelled. And it's here that we find Solomon praying a beautiful prayer of dedication to the temple. Let's read in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. "But will God really dwell on earth with men? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less this temple that I have built. Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and to his plea for mercy, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open towards this temple day and night. This place of which you have said that you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer of your servant praise towards this place. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much, God, that you have given us your written word. Father, to teach us, to guide us, and most importantly, to draw us unto you. Father, as we study your word this morning, I pray that it wouldn't be anything that I say, but God, the words that you speak through the word of God, Father, that would challenge us, that would change us, and that it would prepare us for revival in our hearts this morning. We ask this in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Solomon is found here just begging God, "Lord, hear my prayer. Hear your servant's prayer. Hear the prayers of your people." He's begging God on behalf of himself and on behalf of the nation of Israel to begin to hear them and to forgive them of their sins. You see, I believe that Solomon realized during his day and age that if his people were going to have a connect moment with God, if they were going to experience the Lord as God wanted them to experience Him, they would first have to come before Him with a clean heart. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's just scoot over another page. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. After Solomon has this beautiful prayer towards the Lord and he begins to dedicate the temple and says, "Lord, hear your prayer. Hear your servants." He begins to just listen for God. And in his time with God and in his dedication towards God, the Lord appears to him. Let's begin in verse 11. "When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, 'I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers offered in this place.'" I love that passage of Scripture. I think that there's three important key things that you and I need to take away this morning if we are going to experience true revival in our hearts true revival in this church, true revival in this community, and in this world. The first thing that he mentions here, go back to verse 14. He says, if my people who are called by my name, these are talking to believers. These are Christians. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. You see, I believe firmly that prayer is the key to the heart of God. God begins to listen when His servants, when you and I begin to call on His name. When you and I begin to spend honest and sincere time in our quiet place, in our little time with God, and begin to call out His name and say, God, start with me. Start a work in me that I would become excited about what You want to do through me, through the life of First Baptist Grant, in our community, so that we could reach people together for Your name and for Your glory and for Your name's sake. God desires for us to pray. Our sanctuary, this sanctuary here at First Baptist, is going to be open in the evenings from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesdays through Fridays. On Wednesdays, we'll have our regular service, but you can come and pray in your specific classes, the youth and the children's ministries, the adults. I encourage each one of our classes, spend at least some time together corporately to begin to pray about our revival services that are coming up, that God would do a mighty work in and through us. So the first thing I believe that we need to do if we're going to experience revival is we need to begin to pray. The second thing, let's read again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God says the second thing that we must do is begin to seek Him. The great passage of Scripture, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things, they'll be added unto you. Folks, if we want to experience God's greatness, if we want to experience a move of God in our lives and to be able to change us, to be able to mold us, to be able to use us, to be able to reach this community for Christ, we've got to be willing to pray and we've got to be willing to seek His face. We've got to be willing to come boldly before the throne of grace each and every day to say, God, I need You. God, I want You. God, I adore You. God, just as the deer panteth for that water, Lord, my soul longs after You. God, I want to know You. I want to be with You. I want to experience You. We need to be people that are willing to pray. We need to be people that are willing to say, God, I seek You. God, I want to know You. I know a lot of things in our lives tend to pull us. A lot of different things in our lives tend to distract us and get our attention off the most important thing that we can do. And that's spend time with the Lord daily. Folks, we've got to be willing to make sure that we set aside time on a regular basis to spend with the Father, to be able to spend connecting with Him, hearing from Him, seeking His face, and praying to Him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The third part of that is repentance, turning from our sins. You see, repentance is more than just asking for forgiveness. I know as a youth, I used to pray right before I went to bed, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully, we're praying throughout the day. But I remember going to bed before or climbing in my bed, and I said, oh, I forgot to pray. And so I began to pray to God as a teenager, and I would say, God, please forgive me my sins. Help me have a good day tomorrow at school. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. But see, what I was doing is I was just asking for forgiveness. I was saying, God, I'm sorry that I got caught, or I'm sorry that I slipped up with my tongue, or I'm sorry I talked back to my parents. But folks, what God desires from you and me is not just a heart that is sorry that we got caught, but a heart that says, Lord, I want to be like You. And Father, if I want to be like You, I've got to be willing to turn from some things that are not like You in my life. Father, those areas in my lifestyle that don't match up with what Scripture says I need to be like, God, I need to be willing to truly repent. You know, when I was saved as a teenager, I was walking towards a broad and wide gate that the Bible says is hell. Walking straight towards it with everything I had. I had good intentions. I was a good kid. I wasn't really bad. But I didn't have Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so I was walking this way, and one day God stepped out and He called on to me, and He began to let me know that He loved me. And I began to hear from His Word through a church such as this that He loved me, He died for me. And He wanted me to turn from that wickedness and to begin to follow Him. And folks, repentance is saying, I'm walking this way, away from God, and I'm making a willing choice today to turn from that and head straight towards God. Where God says that that is the narrow way, that is the straight way, that is the perfect way that leads to righteousness. That's what God desires for you, for me, for this community, for this nation. Is that we not just ask for forgiveness, but we be willing to turn from the stuff that we do that we know that we should do. The great Apostle Paul used to say this, and still says this through God's Word. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, the things that I hate to do, I end up doing them anyway. Folks, our lives have sin in them. And I believe if we're going to experience true revival, we need to begin to pray and talk to God about it and begin to ask Him to start with us. We need to begin to seek His face daily, getting to know Him, hanging out with Him, meeting with the Father, and hearing what He has to say to us. And thirdly, we've got to be willing to turn from our sin, turn from the wickedness that comes in our life. Then and only then will God begin to hear us. He'll forgive us. He'll heal our land. We look at this great nation, and I love this nation, the United States of America. But we've got so many areas where we have turned our backs on God. And I can see how this nation is experiencing, in a way, the wrath of God. We're experiencing some heartache, some turmoil as a result of our disobedience to this Word. Folks, we need to be a nation that comes back to God. A nation that says, Lord, You above all, I serve. And I'm willing to turn from our wickedness. Man, I pray for our nation that we would be a nation that would return back to the Lord. Over the past several years, bottled water has become an incredible phenomenon, has it not? It is amazing. I know just several years ago, whenever it started, this big old kick on bottled water. And my wife loves bottled water. I was always a tea drinker. I'm from, not truly South, but I'm from Florida. And in Florida, my family drank a lot of sweet tea. I like a lot of sugar and a little bit of tea. Tastes better that way. But this crazy phenomenon called bottled water has swept over this nation and probably all across the world. And I can remember thinking to myself, who in the world would pay for bottled water? That is absolutely ridiculous. You know, why in the world would somebody spend money on something that I can go to the tap water, turn it on, fill up my glass, and have some water? Did I not used to tell you that all the time, Jessica? Told her she was crazy. Spending, you know, it was a cost factor. This is free, you know, this and that. Absolutely crazy. So why do people spend money on bottled water? Well, it's probably because of this right here. And this is just one brand, whether you like Sam's Choice or not. It's not the fact of the matter. Sam's Choice, purified drinking water with flavored enhancing minerals. If we flip over to the label on the back, Sam Walton believed in innovative products made to our own higher standards. Our purified drinking water has been triple filtered and ozonated, whatever that means, to offer you the consistent quality of the freshness, sodium-free water. Wow. That's deep. But it's just water. Most people buy bottled water because the tap water has pollutions in it, has stuff in it that maybe isn't good for your body, and supposedly the bottled water, they have cleansed that. They have filtered it out, and we buy it because it's pure. Yours and my life is represented by this glass. It's an empty vessel. This bottled water, if I can so make an analogy with it, is like the Holy Spirit. It's pure. There's no impurities in it. But folks, the Holy Spirit enters our life . Anybody care to take a drink? Why not? It's not pure. See, what you didn't realize is in this cup, I had dirt and mud and all kinds of nasty stuff. Folks, the reality is God wants to do an incredible work in your life today. He wants to do an incredible work in the life of this church. And the Holy Spirit wants to pour Himself and fill us up. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. God wants us to have every bit of Him. Not that you get more of Him today than the day that you got saved. I'm not saying that. But we are controlled. We have control of whether we're going to allow Him control or allow us control. And God says, I want you to be filled with Me so that I'm in control of your life. So that I can lead you as a husband. I can lead you as a mother. I can lead you as a young person in your school and on your campuses. And I can lead you as a church. And I can lead you as a community. And I can lead you as a nation. God desires to pour His Holy Spirit and just do an incredible work. But folks, when we allow sin to stay in our life, God's not going to pour His anointing into a vessel that is unclean, a vessel that is dirty. I believe God wants us to pray. God wants us to seek His face. And God wants us to get rid of the junk in our life so that He can pour Himself into us, so that He can anoint this church. He can anoint you as a dad to be able to lead your children to Christ, to be able to reach your neighbors for Christ. Folks, God can't use us. He can use us, and He chooses to use us. But God would much rather us allow Him to be able to cleanse us so that when He pours into us, I don't know about you, but I don't see bottled water in that, do you? I see a mess. And when we allow sin to stay in our life as a believer, the outside world looking in sees just that. They see a mess. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of cleanse. I want to be part of what God wants to do. When water is mixed with dirt, when it's mixed with mud, when it's mixed with junk, we just get a dirty and nasty thing that is undrinkable. And I'm not trying to say that God can't use you when we mess up, because we will mess up, we will sin. But God can use somebody so much greater that has a heart that's seeking after Him, a heart that's praying on a regular basis, and a heart that is pure before Him. If we're to experience true revival, we must come to the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 19:12-14 says this, "Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from the willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Here David makes us aware that sometimes that we do sin, and sometimes we sin and we don't even know it. He says, "Lord, forgive me of my hidden faults, the things that I don't even realize that I've done." You see, I've learned that over the years that there are sins of commission and sins of omission. Sins of commission are things that we commit. That's where, you know, commission comes from. Things that we do that go contrary to God's Word. There are sins of omission, and those are things that we omit to do. When God asks you to do something and you don't do that, that's sin. That's an area that you're not willing to follow the Lord completely and wholly. And there are sometimes we sin because of ignorance. And I'll be honest with you, when we stand before Him one day, we're going to have to give an account of everything that's written in this Word. So I encourage you, study the manual. Know the guidelines. It'll help you in your relationship. It'll allow you to live a long and prosperous life by seeking after Him and obeying His commands. Psalm 24:1-6 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Here's the person that can stand in the holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God, Jacob, Selah. Let us this morning together and individually begin to examine deep within our hearts. Begin to look inside the glass, to look inside the vessel and say, God, is there any unclean? Is there anything impure in my life that needs fixing? Is there any area of my life that I have not given over to you? And folks, that's a process. That's a big fancy word called sanctification. But the bottom line is that means God is still working on me. And folks, we need to look inside our hearts today, inside our minds, inside our attitudes, inside of everything, our lifestyle, and say, God, is there anything in my life that I need to get right with you? Folks, if you and I are going to begin to experience true revival in our hearts, we've got to come before a holy God with a pure heart, with clean hands. Then I believe God will begin to pour His blessings upon you, pour His blessings upon your family, pour His blessings on this church, this community, this nation, and this world. We've got to be willing to people to pray, to seek His face, and to turn from our sins. This morning, I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you've heard me share this morning and you've heard God's Word and you're just not sure about all this. You're not sure that any of that makes sense. Who is this God that you're talking about? I want you to know He's an incredible, loving, wonderful person that wants to be your Heavenly Father. He wants to take that glass and be able to pour His life into you. And He wants to be able to remove the junk, remove the dirt, remove the muck and the mud from our lives. So that when people on the outside look at us, they don't see the glass, but they see the contents of the glass. They see the Holy Spirit working through your life. They see Jesus Christ Himself working in you and through you. So maybe you don't know Him today. And if you don't, I'm just going to encourage you. Come talk to me. Brother Nyla is going to come and we're just going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you've never made a decision to follow the Lord Jesus, I encourage you to do that today. It's the most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life, because that is the one decision that will determine where you will spend eternity forever. You're either going to spend it with God in heaven, or you're going to spend it away from God in a place called hell. And both of them are very real. And maybe this morning you look at your life and you look at your heart, and you look at your glass, and you see the areas of impurities. Folks, that's okay. I'm not saying that sin's okay. But it's okay to be unclean, because there's a God who wants to clean you up. You don't have to do it in your own strength. He says, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll take care of you. I'll clean you up. I heard a pastor one time say that God cleans his fish after he catches them. Praise God that God doesn't make us clean up our act before we come to Him. We can come to Him as the prostitute did. We can come to Him in a drug addiction lifestyle and say, God, I need you. And God says, welcome home, my son, my daughter. I've been waiting for you a long time. I don't know where you're at this morning, but folks, I encourage you, come spend some time at the altar. Whether it's for you personally, whether it's for this church, whether it's for this nation, we need revival. We need to experience God the way He wants us to experience Him. And we need to be people that are changed and molded into His image and likeness. And I can tell you one thing that's going to prevent you from walking up this morning. It's a thing called pride. It started a long time ago, back in the garden. Folks, let's set aside our pride and stop pretending that we've got it all together. Stop pretending that this world is just an okay place and that it'll be all right. It isn't. This world needs Jesus. Folks, we need to be willing to be people that would pray, that would come to this altar. Over the next 2 weeks, as I mentioned before, the sanctuary is going to be open from 6 to 8. Come as a family. Come as an individual. Come and just beg the heart of God. Cry out to Him like Solomon did and said, Lord, fill this temple. Fill this temple. Allow me to know You and experience You in a way that is new and refreshing, and revive me. Let it start with me. That's my prayer this morning.